Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. And I want to preach to you a message that I've titled Fingerprints of Helping Others. Now, this is a play on a short series that I'm going to walk through over the next several weeks. Just calling it Faith's Fingerprints. Faith's Fingerprints. And you'll kind of see why that is maybe where that came from as we look at the text together. As we just walk through and we can talk about charitable deeds, helping others, giving alms, those things this morning, and then prayer and fasting. Now, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they believed there were three primary, they're top three, these are in the top categories of things that a believer in God ought to do. And that was giving alms, that was praying, and fasting. And now we're walking through this Sermon on the Mount, and so Jesus begins with the Beatitudes, and he gives with the similitude, that is, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. And so you remember the Beatitudes, blessed are you, blessed. He just walks through those, and then he tells us we're the light of the world, they're the salt of the earth. And then he walks through what the last series was life's big issues, about adultery, about lust, about anger, oaths, and just so many things. And so what has happened is we see the Beatitudes, we see the salt and light, and then we get into these life's big issues, and they're addressing the heart. They're much more inward focused, okay? And so there's this focus of those things that are going on and in our life and our heart. And then in chapter 6, there's a transition that takes place in verse 1. And so verse 1 really deals with the next few topics of giving, of praying, and fasting. And so Faith's Fingerprints is all about, we're going to see in verse 1, that we really ought to live out our faith. Our faith must be active. Jesus goes from addressing the heart. There's these things going on in your life, but as a result of your faith and belief in Jesus, there ought to be some activity that the rest of the world sees. And we're going to talk about motivation and those things behind that. But the three areas that he highlights in front of all these religious leaders are the very top three activities that they believed in that day. So Jesus is affirming that these things are important, but he's going to get to the heart of the matter, as Jesus often does. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about giving and helping others this morning. Then we're going to move in and spend a few weeks talking about prayer, and then we're going to spend some time talking about fasting. And the fingerprints, because we're going to talk about that it's not so that we can look good, not so that everybody will pat us on the back, and we're going to get into that this morning, but the fingerprints ought to be the evidence left behind that a believer impacts the world of those around them. And so this morning, the first sermon out of that series is the fingerprints of helping others. And so Matthew chapter 6 in verse 1, and if you found your place and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do your charitable deeds before, that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, you would take and you would bless and use the preaching of your word to mold us and make us into the image of Christ. And Lord Jesus, I pray this morning you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your spirit, give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. Lord Jesus, you be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. And so we see right here in verse 1, he begins and he tells us, take heed, it's this command, watch out, be careful. If you could put an exclamation point on it, that's what's taking place. And again, verse 1 is going to address all the things that are happening, that are taking place in the following sections of Scripture. The main idea of the text this morning is that God desires for our fingerprints to be evident in the lives of others. Our fingerprints ought to be evident in the lives of others around you. That means your community ought to know that you live there. And we're going to get into this. That's not the motivation. That's not the drive behind it. But rather, there ought to be evidence left behind that we're followers of Jesus and our community knows it. So the key question behind the text is, what kind of evidence is left in the lives of those around you? If God gives you a different place of employment next week, what kind of evidence will be left of your faith in the place where you work? If God gives you a different address, what kind of evidence will be left in the neighborhood where you live? What kind of evidence are you leaving behind? So let's walk through this text together. Number one, helping fingerprints are active. Helping fingerprints are active. So look at verse 1 again. Notice the text here says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. Now listen, I realize he specifically says charitable deeds here. But again, he's using this in reference to this charitable deeds, prayer, and fasting. And so in the weeks ahead, we're going to keep coming back to verse 1 because it's really important. It puts us in the right frame or context. So he says, watch out, be careful that you don't do it before men just to be seen by them. Now, what we've got to talk about in helping others is active. He is not condemning charitable deeds. There's no command here to do charitable deeds. There's no command to helping others. The idea of charitable deed is an act of mercy. And by the way, the language that's here for charitable deeds, every time it is used, it's in an active sense. That means that this isn't just have empathy for somebody. It's not just feel sorry for somebody who's in need. It's not to sit back and go, boy, I really feel bad for them. I really hate it for them. It's an active faith. But there is no command for us to go and do good to others. In this text, it's assumed. See, you and I, as believers in Jesus, we get a picture. We ought to have an idea, a view of that ultimately we were the ones in desperate need and Jesus took action. He had an act of mercy when he stepped out of heaven and came to earth, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross for me and for you, was raised from the grave, and one day the Spirit of God tugged or knocked on your heart's door, drew you to himself, you repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ, and 2 Corinthians 5:17 happened in your life where you are no longer the same person you used to be, but you're a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, ultimately, we were the ones in desperate need. And Jesus shouldn't have to tell us, hey, go and do charitable deeds. Go and be kind. Go and do acts of mercy to others because you are a recipient of the ultimate act of mercy. It ought to overflow out of our life as believers. And so, helping fingerprints are active. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, look at this, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Because as a believer, I am tied into the vine. I'm tied into Jesus. His love ought to flow out of me. And when it does, it bears good works. It bears charitable deeds. It bears acts of kindness, acts of mercy. And so if your faith is not active, I would tell you that you need to examine your faith. Hebrews 13:16 says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And so helping others, giving of yourself, giving of your resources, giving what God has entrusted you with. Now, hear me clearly. I really do believe everything God has given me, not just the quote 10%, everything God has given me is God's. Some of y'all don't believe that this morning. That's okay. Everything you have, it's all God's. He just lets you keep some. Okay? And so we ought to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Now, as a church member, as a member of part of this church, you ought to give a portion of that, first and foremost, right off the top, to the church. And I know what some of you are thinking, of course you would say that, you're the pastor. But that's what God has called us to. That's His expectation. That's part of serving Him. But even what we keep, what we still have to live our daily lives and go about, we need to be good stewards of that. But understand this. Listen, I believe the greatest investment I can be a part of is giving to a local body of believers, the church. Why? Am I going to see an 8% return on my money? Am I going to see a 100% return on my money? No, probably not. Maybe not. I don't know. But this is what I know. When you give to your local church, you're investing in eternity, where moth cannot attack, where rust cannot corrupt. You invest in the life of a young lady named Tammy who stepped in our office this week and she walked in as an old creature and walked out as a new creature because she gave her heart and life to Jesus. But listen to me. Not only are you called to give and you give to your local church so that we can turn and be a blessing to others and use it for ministry. But as the Lord prompts your heart, we also need to give wisely. Listen, when we go, if you want to go with us, this is a shameless plug, we're going to take a trip to Memphis in July. July 8th through the 12th, you ought to mark it down and come go with us. This is what I can be sure of. You'll never view Memphis the same. You may never view mission trips as the same. But as we go out, one of the rules is we don't give money out. You say, hold on, preacher, you're talking about take heed, do charitable deeds. Yes, but God's not called me to be foolish. And when we go out on the street and run into somebody who has a drug or alcohol problem, I'm not called to be an enabler. Now listen to me. As we're out and we see a real need, somebody has a real struggle, real issue, and they really are hungry, we'll say, hey, come go with us. We're about to go to McDonald's. We'll buy you a meal. And if they're hungry, you know what will happen? They'll come go with us. Had a friend that came one time and he told me, he said, man, we have the same problem in our city. He said, in my vehicle all the time is a case of water and a case of peanut butter crackers. Hey, listen, folks, we can be intentional about this. We can't just push back from the table and say it's not our issue, it's not our problem. We don't have to deal with that. That's not our luxury. Our faith ought to be active. And we ought to be sensitive to the prompting of God as He leads us to help others who are in need. We have a food pantry. There's so many resources, so many things that we can invest in and be a part in and really try to be diligent to help others. But listen to me, one of the best things that you can do is just open your eyes in your own neighborhood, at your own workplace, in your own circle of friends, and just try to leave some Christ-like fingerprints in their life. Helping fingerprints are active. Number two. Helping fingerprints are a result of a motivation. A motivation. Now, Every action you do, including showing up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning, was motivated by something. I know many of you showed up today because I was starting a new sermon series. That fired you up. Maybe not. Some of you motivated because of the affection of Jesus. You long to worship with your church family. Some of you maybe showed up because you saw a social media post. Some of you showed up because it's just what you're supposed to do. Every person in this room came here motivated by something. Every action you do is motivated by something. And Jesus addresses the motivation in verse 1. Take heed, look, that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. As you look to make an impact on this world, in this community, on our city, we need to ask, what is our motivation? Why is it that we are seeking to do this? We need to be careful about our motivation. Sometimes people are motivated because it makes them look good. Well, I'm going to make sure and go down to Second Baptist Church because, boy, there's people of influence there. Boy, it'll look good. Or it'll help because it'll be on my website. I'm an active member of Second Baptist Church. Whatever the case, people do all kinds of stuff for all kinds of reasons. And sometimes people are motivated because it makes them look good. You may look to help somebody and you want to make sure that somebody sees it because they'll go, man, isn't Chris a great guy? And folks, we got to be really careful what our motivation is. Sometimes people do things because they feel like they have to. It's their obligation to. See somebody struggling, hurt, or in need, just feel obligated to. It's not that you really want to. It's not that you're led to. But I'm obligated to. And the danger behind that is that it's empty. It's vain. There's no joy behind it. There's no wanting it to be and point to Christ. It's all about me and what I'm obligated to. Or, I hope this is maybe where we find ourselves, we're motivated out of the overflow of what Jesus has done in my life. How Jesus has impacted my life. See, when God called us to seminary, we didn't have a whole lot. And boy, we had person after person come through our lives that left fingerprints of Christ all over our lives. Because they just wanted to be obedient to Jesus. They wanted to express the love of Jesus. And dear friend, you need to be careful what your motivation is when you help others. Now, here's the thing. Say, well, I'm not, you know, I've had a bad motivation. I'm not going to do anything at all. Now, what Jesus is calling us to is check your motivation at the door. Understand, Jesus, I don't want to do these things to make myself look good. I don't want to do these things out of obligation. But because of what you've done in my life, and because of what you've called me here for, and what you are doing in my life, I want to be a blessing to others. So how do we do that? Well, John 15:8, Jesus says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." What's the point? What's the motivation? It's so that people see what happens in your life, the effects of the fingerprints, and when they examine the identity of the fingerprints, it's not about Chris, but it's about Jesus. I do this because of what Jesus has done. I do this because of what Jesus is doing. Ezekiel 33:31 talks about people with wrong motivation. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. And so what's your motivation? So how am I careful about what my motivation is? It's interesting. Some of you, we have Sunday school just before this at 9:30, and if you're not plugged into one of those Sunday school classes, we have classes from all ages, all the ways from the babies to senior adults, and we'd love for you to be a part of one of those. Deidre and I are part of Kelvin's Kelvin and Sarah's young adult class, and we're walking through Explore the Bible, and this week we're talking about James and John, and they're asking to be greatest in the kingdom. Some of you walked through that this week. And they wanted to be great. They wanted to be at Jesus' next hand men, just right there. And their motivation was wrong, wasn't it? It was all about them. It was all about position of power and influence. They want them to look good. And they completely miss the mission of Jesus because they're expecting an earthly king. In reality, they got something much greater, and that's a heavenly father and a holy priest through Jesus. And so how do you examine your own motivation? First, you need to examine your personal walk with the Lord Jesus. Are you daily pursuing Christ? Are you daily in His Word, seeking Him through prayer? Why is that important? Because listen, the Scripture says our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Let me just tell you, let me help you, because my heart's the same way. Apart from a daily pursuit of Christ, of getting in the Word, allowing the Word of God to get into me, and spending time at the feet of Jesus, my heart is going to wonder. My heart is going to want the praise of men. My heart is going to feel more obligated than act of love out of what Jesus has done in my life. But whenever I'm clean and close to the Lord Jesus, that's when Jesus flows out of me. Secondly, there ought to be, in a community of believers, there ought to be some accountability. Are we living out what we say we believe? Are people affirming what's going on in your life? Number three, helping fingerprints are rewarded. They're rewarded. Look at verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so there's a reward. He goes on to talk about when men see it and see that, that's it. And so this all ties together. When your faith is active, and if you've got the wrong motivation, you just do it so you look better, that's all you get. Don't expect Jesus or God to do anything else in your life or for there to be any reward stored up in heaven for you. Now listen to me. I hear some of you. I hear you thinking. And I realize it sounds really spiritual. Go, well, preacher, we ought to not do that for any reward. And on the one hand, I absolutely agree with you. But on the other hand, let me be very clear. Jesus is the one that brings up reward. So let's be careful and not try to sound too spiritual or more spiritual than Jesus does. The reality is everything you and I do has an eternal effect and an eternal result. It has a reward, positive or negative. And what Jesus is saying here, you are called to help others. You are called to give and to be a blessing to others. And if you do it so that you look great among people and the community comes by and gives you an award and pats you on the back, he said, congratulations, that's all you get. Thanks for coming. If you do it just because you're obligated to, and that gives you some sort of relief because that's one check I box, although if you do it out of obligation, you'll never check enough boxes because you'll always feel obligated. You'll say that momentary moment of relief, that's all you get. That's your reward. But it goes on to say, therefore you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet. Don't do it so that you get glory. Because it said that's your reward. It said don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. Verse 4, your charitable deed may be in secret. And it says that he will reward you openly. In verse 4. I don't know about you, but it sounds like a whole lot better to me rather than some temporary plaque on my wall because I wanted to be recognized, some eternal crown to cast at the feet of Jesus is far better. Something to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. Now, we're going to take this a little bit further. Sometimes in our giving, our almost sense of pride is in trying to be so discreet in this. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, how there sometimes things happen and just people recognize that. But there are rewards. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water in to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Jesus is the one that brings up and talks about rewards. Paul talks about it to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 18. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Talk about that foundation and building on that foundation and crowns and jewels and rewards. And so as you serve the Lord, remember we're living out our faith, just doing what Jesus, just sharing what Jesus is doing on the inside. There's rewards. And now, if your motivation is to just get a reward, you got to check your heart at the door because that's just about making us look good. I don't serve Jesus. I'm not here this Sunday morning. I'm not trying to help others just so that I get some reward because then that's about making me look good. But rather, I serve Jesus because what he's done in my life and because the goodness and the grandness and the mercy and majesty of Jesus, he rewards his children even though I'm not deserving. And then number 4, helping fingerprints are discreet. Verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. There it is again. Verse 3, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. All right, so let's unpack this. First of all, Jesus is using extreme language, okay? I don't know, and I'm sure it probably has happened, but I don't know that I've never ever known anybody who sees somebody in need on the side of the road that suddenly went and painted a sign and is standing on the side of I-40 saying, I want you to know I've helped this man. Standing there with the musical instrument trying to get his... They don't have a bullhorn. Every car that goes by... But you know what Jesus is saying here. He sees somebody in need and just happens to wait until it's the busiest time to make sure and get out. Make sure that I get my phone out, I turn the camera around and get a selfie. I got to post it to show social media. Whatever the case may be, make sure somebody knows that I helped them. Hey, preacher, just want you to know, in case anybody asks, I helped them. Now, then Jesus uses the other extreme language in verse 3. Now, think about this real literally. He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's extreme language. Here's the deal. What Jesus is saying is, look, don't go out and sound your own trumpet, your own tune, so that everybody knows what's going on in your life. Do the very best you can to be discreet. Now, here's the reality. Sometimes you're going to help people because God prompted your heart, and other people may know. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Now, if that's my motivation, I'm going to help Brother Jim so that the rest of y'all know, then we've dealt with that. But if God prompts my heart, and as best I can, I'm trying to be discreet in helping my brother, and for whatever reason somebody finds out, that your heart is clean, your conscience is clear, because you were obedient to Christ and tried to do it the right way. Does that make sense? So Jesus is using extreme language. Don't misunderstand here. But as best we can, we need to be discreet. One, you don't want to embarrass somebody. Here's Al Ray. Boy, he's lost everything, bankrupt, all kinds. I'm helping him. Man, that's so embarrassing to him. That's not true of Al Ray, by the way. Whew, that was a close one. That's embarrassing. The other thing is, it looks bad on you because everybody goes, man, that preacher's just doing that, so he looks good. And so we need to be discreet as best we can. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this a few verses later. We'll look at next week. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Hey, listen. If God in creation looked at absolutely nothing and told absolutely nothing to do something and it did it when He created the world, God certainly has the ability to see what your right hand is doing, although your left hand may not know, and He can reward that. He knows. He knows what your motivation is. He knows your heart. He knows your position. He tells us again in Matthew 6:18, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every good work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. But here's where I want to end in verse 4. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret. Listen to me, dear friend. There's three books open in heaven. The Word of God, the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Book of Works. And it's that Book of Works that ought to really scare us or cause us to caution ourselves. Because in the Book of Works, every public thing you've ever done will be there. In the Book of Works, everything you've ever done behind closed doors that your family knows, those closest friends. In the Book of Works, everything that you've ever done that nobody else has ever seen will be there. And I'll be honest with you, this is where it gets real convicting for me. Every thought you've ever had is written down in that book. Every motivation, every intention, everything. Now, here's the beauty. And I shared this with Tammy on Thursday, I believe. If this Bible represented my life, and by the way, everything I've ever done, all the evil this book would not contain. I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but I know me well enough to know I need a whole lot more books, unfortunately. But October 10th, 2004, when I prayed and gave my heart to Jesus, all of these things, past, present, and future sin, looks like that. Because the Word of God says, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And He takes our sin, He places them as far as the east is from the west. And the book of works doesn't scare me anymore. Because my name's in the book of life. And so I don't know where you're at or what's going on in your life. You maybe have trusted Jesus with your salvation. You've invited Him to be Lord, boss, master of your life. And God's just challenging your heart this morning about helping others. God's dealing with your heart about motivation, about your faith being active, about being discreet, about rewards. But some of you maybe have sat under the preaching of the Word of God for decades, or this may be your very first time. And my challenge to you is this. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because ultimately, if you were to figure out a way to live at this out and help others and do it from a right motivation, although nobody born again can do it out of the right motivation, but just to say you were, if there were crowns stored up there in heaven to cast at the feet of Jesus, there was rewards, you'll never get to experience that, because if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll never be in heaven. So, your Father who sees in secret. And so He knows your heart. He knows what's going on in your life right now. And my question to you is this. Has there ever been a day in time where you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus? Say, God, forgive me of all my sin. Be the boss and master of my life. I give everything to you. Because to be quite honest with you, the rest of this doesn't matter if you haven't nailed down that decision. And in here in just a moment, we're going to have a time that we call an invitation. And it really is an invitation to respond how God spoke to you this morning. Some of you need to respond because He's challenged your motivation. The Word of God has convicted you. But some of you need to respond for salvation. You need to repent of your sins, place your faith and trust in Jesus, and make that decision public to say, today I am following Jesus for the rest of my life. You're going to have an opportunity during our invitation to make the single greatest decision you'll ever make. That'll impact your life and your family from here to eternity. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank You for this day. And I pray, God in heaven, for those that are here that are unsure about their salvation, I pray, God, you would help them to be clear. And if they don't know you, God, I pray you would save them this morning. If you're not sure, make sure today. You can pray something like that. Pray in the quietness of your own heart. Just tell him what's going on in your life. Tell him you're a sinner. Confess your sin. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be the boss of your life. Ask him to save you. You can pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my life. Wash away all my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. I give everything to you. Totally and without reservation." I pray this in Jesus' name while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and nobody else looking around. If you prayed that prayer this morning, or you prayed on your own and you invited Jesus into your life,